can take your Bibles and go to Proverbs 27. I have a beautiful title for this sharing tonight. You are beautiful. I told you it was beautiful. In Proverbs 27, 17, it says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his what?
Friend.
And last week we looked at friendship, and I did read this verse, and this word stood out to me, countenance, in this verse. This is just really cool. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. The word countenance means face or presence or person. So if you think about that, think about you sharpening the countenance of a friend. A face. God gave us faces, didn't he? We all have a face. And they're pretty unique, right? I mean, Shay and Greer are not in the room, so I could at least say that right now. You know, there are twins and stuff, but God gave us a face. And what shows up on your face?
Expressions,
yes. What'd you say?
What you think.
What you're thinking about. Could, yeah, definitely. Could. What's that?
Pimples.
Yeah. Laughter can come out on your face without sound. You ever crack up without making a peep? I guess detectives or police officers that are kind of detectives, when they ask questions to someone, they are professionally trained to read your face. If you twitch an eyebrow, if you look up with your eyes to the left, it means one thing as opposed to the right, and so on. In other words, our faces tell a huge deal of what's going on inside. So if you're happy, people can usually tell by your face. And if you're sad and crying and just, you know, down in the lip, people can tell by your face. Now, why did God do that? I don't know. I mean, your feet can't express any of that. Your leg can't, you know, but your face. God gave us a face. And one of your jobs to do is to sharpen the countenance of a friend. You sharpen their face and their presence and their person. How could you do that? Well, look at Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, and in the first part of verse 7, it says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, I said that a little funny, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now that's actually a great key in life. Only you and God know what you think about, you know, deep in your heart. It's not something that maybe the people that you're with every day really even know, unless you tell them. But as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So when you are going to sharpen the countenance of a friend, it's not to go up to their face and squeeze the smile to go up instead of the frown, you know, but it's the heart. You help their heart. You do something, say something, provide some feedback that helps them. And it's within that you look at, and that it is what makes the man. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That is really important. For each of us as individuals for our own well-being, that what's in your heart is checked, that it's not let to run wild, that it's not left to be on its own, but that you take it, whatever's going on in there, and you grab it, and you shake it up if you need to. And that's a way, not just for yourself, but also for a friend, to sharpen the countenance of a friend. Isn't that nice? It's so important for our own well-being to align our hearts with the word. And if you have a friend and you can tell that they're not lining up with the word, then you sharpen their countenance. That's what you do. You sharpen it up. Ephesians 5, 2. Ephesians 5, 2. It says here, and walk in love. Ephesians 5, 2. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savor. So this, you know, one thing that devil spirits are is they sometimes stink, or there could be a foul odor or something like that. You know, something that's devilish. But, you know, what it says here is that for an offering and a sacrifice for a sweet-smelling savor. You know, to God, we smell great, you know. In your worst state, you smell great to God. That's who we are. We're born-again people with God and Christ in us. And, you know, even if it was just for you, because God had no guarantee for anyone to believe, God still would have given you his son. And that's, Jesus Christ took that and did it. He sacrificed himself to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And that's us. Look at Romans 10. So you're beautiful. And you smell good too. Romans 10. And in verse 15 it says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. Look at that. How beautiful. You know, and the feet, that's supposed to be like the thing that's the least attractive, you know, with somebody, their feet, right? Some people can't stand feet. Some people are all bent out of shape about feet, you know. And I guess I understand. Some people have the opposite, a foot fetish, where they want to lick on feet and stuff, you know. God bless them, I guess. But here, it's how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. It's like even the ugliest part of a person is beautiful. Preaching the gospel of peace. You know, you speak God's word, and even your feet are gorgeous. Nice. Even the feet. And then up at verse, you know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, right? And then up at verse 9 and 10, very famous verses in the Bible, popular verses, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's believed where? Not in your foot. It's believed in your heart. In verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now that first part of verse 10, I don't know. For years of me being in the Word, I just saw that as like believer 101. You got to believe you're righteous. That's like, you know, if you sign up for a class on being a believer, that's like the first lesson. You're righteous. It's right there after what to believe, you know, being born again, to believe to be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto what?
Righteousness.
As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you believe you're righteous, then you're going to be righteous. You're going to walk like a righteous person. It's going to exude from you. You're going to live a life of a righteous person. Do you know, that's huge. That's not just some spiritual thing that doesn't mean anything, okay? It means everything. Because that means you're not going to condemn yourself. You're not going to beat yourself up. You're not going to let the adversary convince you that you're a piece of you know what. Because that's what he's after. He's after your heart to convince you that you suck. But if you believe, like believer 101, that you're righteous, then that's where it's at. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So that's beautiful countenance to be righteous. You know, we sang the song, what was the first one? Sunshine in my soul today, right? More glorious and bright. Sunshine in my soul. When you're blessed, it's like rays of sunshine coming out. And you're a light of the world. You shine anyway, you know. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship. That word workmanship, you should mark it in your Bible if you haven't. The word workmanship is masterpiece. For we are his masterpiece. Out of all the things he created, we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Masterpiece is pretty awesome as an artist. You know, I don't know if it's still true, but 2 years ago, I looked up what the world considers the greatest masterpiece, you know, and there was one that was Leonardo da Vinci's painting that was lost. They only had copies. It was lost for super long, and there were like 37 known replicas of it, but nobody had the original. And then they found the original under an overpainting where somebody painted over it, and they took that layer off, and it was the original Leonardo da Vinci of a self-portrait of Jesus, not a self-portrait, a portrait of Jesus Christ. And it sold for, it was identified and, you know, certified as an original Leonardo da Vinci painting. And it was like over $450 million or something. Like almost half $1 billion for a painting. You know, somebody's masterpiece painting. But you are God's masterpiece. You are beautiful, whether you like it or not. That's funny. Whether you like it or not, you're beautiful. You're God's masterpiece. It's the heart. That's what God looks at. You know, you're the best. You ever hear that term? You are the best. Did you ever hear that term? If you've been around the word for a minute, I'm sure you have. You are the best. That is a great thing to tell each other. And when you believe that, it'll show in your face. I wanted to just look a little bit in the word here with this word countenance. 1 Samuel 16. First and Second Samuel, First and Second King, First and Second Chronicles, Ezra and Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Thanks. Yeah, I got it. 1 Samuel 16, 12. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look at. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. This is the great record, where Samuel was looking for the king. He was looking for the king. And all these other guys came in, but that wasn't him. But this little ruddy guy, he came in. He brought him in, and I guess he was cute.
God's word is very clear about this. David was
a cutie. All right? Legit cutie. He's got the shout out in the word. He was ruddy. And withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look at. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Now, it wasn't because of how good-looking he was. He happened to have an incredible heart. Because what does God look at? Actually, look at that verse right there in verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance. Imagine if people only got picked for jobs by how they looked. Man, El Guapo would be president instead of Biden. Whoever that is. Look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Corazón.
Spanish.
For heart. You see? But look. David, you know what he did, right? We don't have to read the record. You all know David and Goliath's story, don't you? I mean, what a great record to read on your free time. How did David go through and do all that? How did he still have believing that, how dare this uncircumcised Philistine defile the living God, our living God? How dare he? That was because he had something going on in his heart. He believed God, and he was not afraid. He believed. That's what God was looking at when he found David, his heart. And that's where it's at. Your heart. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What do you think about yourself? That is a question that you need to answer yourself honestly to see where your head has been. What do you think of yourself? Because God has done so much for you to believe that you are righteous and that you are beautiful. And the adversary would love it if you said, nah, that's not me though. You know, God looks at the heart, and David had it going on, both on the outside and the inside. Why can't you too? Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You got what you got. I never thought about it in the sense of your face, but, you know, God gave you your face. You got what you got. Be content with what you got. Be blessed with what you have. Because you're beautiful. You really are.
You got God and Christ in you. You're born again.
You are a light of the world. And you're beautiful. So shut up.
Be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You got your eyes that you have. The hair that you have.
Yeah, and I have some. I know. But I'm blessed. I truly am. I think if I all of a sudden got a hair transplant or something like that, I would just shave it off or something. Because I would look ridiculous. You know? I'm blessed, though. You see what I'm saying? I'm not concerned about it. I know who I am. I know what I am. Because I believe the word. And, you know, there's somebody for everybody. I could tell you that right now. There's somebody for everybody. You got the stuff that you got because you're you. You know, be content with what you have. Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2. This is pretty cool here. Nehemiah 2, verses 2 and 3. It says, wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of what?
Heart.
Heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why shouldest not my countenance be sad, when the city of the place of my father's sepulchres lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? So here's a servant serving a king, and this must have been a cool king, because he noticed that his servant's face was sad. What was going on his heart was coming out on his face. And sometimes we're sad. Believe me, I'm not trying to say to be some kind of cheerleader all the time when you're sad, but you put on a dumb, stupid, happy face and be all fake. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about believing the word about yourself. And this guy was upset. He was sad, and it showed on his countenance. The king noticed it and got into it, and a whole thing they did as a result of that. God blessed them. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel-san. Daniel chapter 3. 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it wanted to be heated. This here is Nebuchadnezzar's anger and rage. He was full of fury. So when that happens to somebody, the next thing it says happens. The form of his visage was changed. It showed on his face. Have you ever seen a person so mad, so angry that their muscles on their face vibrate? And they just...
I hope it wasn't your parents or something, but... if it was, all right, I'm sorry, but...
It could happen. Where you're so angry that your face, you just change into, like, according to quote, monster. You know,
as opposed to being blessed and smiling and happy. Well, this guy was a lunatic. He was nuts. Go to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verse 11. It says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Look at that. Sometimes you might not have a friend to sharpen your countenance. You don't always have a friend around. And you're going to have to tell yourself the right stuff, the right word. And this is talking to himself. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Who's he talking to?
Himself.
"And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God." You know, believe God. "For I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." That's awesome. 15, Proverbs, not Psalm, but Proverbs, next book over. 15. And in verse 13. "A merry heart doth good." No. "A merry heart maketh" what?
"Cheerful countenance."
A cheerful countenance. That's great. A cheerful countenance. I don't have the exact meaning of cheerful here, but it involves sound. It involves, you ever see a cheerleader do her thing? Whatever the sounds they make, a cheer, you know, yay. "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance." That's good. Look at the next part. "But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is" what?
Broken.
And sometimes we do have a broken heart. We get a broken heart because something that happened. And then what do we need to do? Turn to God, and then God heals a broken heart, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is just some cool stuff. "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance." That's why humor is so great. It's one of the 5 relaxing things of God. You know? Some of us are predisposed to making a fool of ourselves in front of people to cheer them up. Aren't we?
Yep.
Some of us. Some of us who don't, you know, like, are too overly concerned about themselves, but willing to act a fool, look a fool, to cheer somebody up. Right? That's okay. That's part of being a friend. To cheer them up, to sharpen their countenance if they're sad. You could cheer them up somehow, because a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. And that is just so good. You know, honestly, we could all be sad and pissed off every moment of our life because of how devilish this world is. And you know what? You'd probably be right in all the things you brought up about it. But you'd be dead wrong not counting the word and what God's word says about life and says about all the stuff that goes on. So you decide. You want to be sorrowful of heart all the time and of a broken spirit, or do you want to have a cheerful countenance? Maybe you need to sweeten up and laugh some more. You know, act a fool. It's all right. All right. Okay, let's see. Do I want to go here? All right, let's do it. Song of Solomon. Oh, damn. 2:14. It was right next door, right? It's like the next book over. Okay. 2:14. "Oh, my dove, that are in the cliffs of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Oh, when you have a sweetheart, just to hear their voice sometimes. Mm-hmm. Chapter 5, verse 15. It's right there. His legs are as pillars of marble. Don't get too excited now. Legs being pillars of marble, set upon stocks of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. Damn, that's some good looking right there. Woo! Legs as marble pillars. Mm. Matthew 16. Just reading the word here. Matthew 16. Verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a what? Sad countenance. Matthew 6:16. You there? Oh, I said the wrong thing. I'm sorry. 6:16. Sorry. Cogete con excuse me. Matthew 6:16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their face, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. This reminds me of when I had to stay up for 3 nights in a row or something crazy for some school project. You know, it means everything if it's a disaster, right? It has to be good. So sometimes I would have to stay up all night working on a project without a wink of sleep. And instead of going in the next day and being like this in school, I would take a shower and no one would know the difference if I had 8 hours of sleep or none at all. And that was good for me. I remember thinking of this too, where you appear to be something and you make yourself all whatever, just disfigure their faces, you know. That's not honest. That's not right. You keep it good. And disfigure their faces and this sad countenance. Sad countenance, it means gloomy or affected. Gloomy or affecting a mournful appearance. A sad countenance. So instead, Psalm 139. Psalm 139, and in verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Well, all the things that God made include you and me. And he did an incredible thing there when he formed, made, and created us. And we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And that, you know, just understanding that God formed and created you, you should love yourself just because of that. Forget about everything else. Just because of that, you should love yourself. As opposed to self-loathing. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I just heard about this recently with somebody. Self-loathing. And I've heard about people cutting themselves before, And I know of two individuals that I actually know that have cut themselves. The self-loathing, the hatred for oneself, the condemnation to hate yourself, that has got to be from the devil himself. That is so devilish. That is sickening. That should make you just your skin crawl to even think about those kind of things ever. Super devilish, because we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and we're righteous people. 2 Corinthians 10, I thought of this verse after thinking about that, because, man, this is a need. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You get a devilish thought of self-loathing? My gosh, that is, you need to cast that down. And you remember, anybody remember what I shared about that recently, kind of in the last few weeks or something? I mentioned something. Anybody remember? I'll tell you if you don't. Mm-hmm. It's like one of those naked guys running out in the baseball field. It's like a wild thought running through your mind. You don't just let it go. You better send security out. Tackle that dude down to the ground, carry his ass out. You understand what I'm saying? That's what you have to do to thoughts that you have in your head. Don't let them just sit there taking a suntan naked. Go out with the net or whatever you have to do, capture that sucker, and throw him in the dumpster where he belongs. And then you're not going to have an issue. You're not going to need someone to help sharpen your countenance, because you done sharpened it yourself, because you put on the word. And this is all of this stuff that I'm talking about here. If you don't do that, it leads to suicidal thoughts, okay? And it's super devilish. And it starts with, or you avoid all of that stuff by capturing that naked freak running through your minefield instantly. And you don't let it live there at all. That's what you do. You know, casting down imaginations. Yeah. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You see, there isn't any condemnation. The whole thought of cutting yourself, okay? Inflicting pain on yourself or something like that. That's like a physical manifestation of a condemnation that comes. And that's what the adversary wants to do. He wants to condemn you. He wants to condemn you to death, by the way. And the reason why there is no more, there is therefore now no condemnation. The reason why there's no condemnation anymore, it's because Jesus Christ was condemned for you. You see? Jesus Christ had the ultimate condemnation. He was condemned to death on the cross. And he was murdered like that. And that's why there is no condemnation, because he took it all. We never, ever have to beat ourselves up and condemn ourselves, or God forbid, cut ourselves. because Jesus Christ took all the abuse, all the physical abuse on him. We don't need to be doing that ever, you know? It's just so great. Remember what Jesus Christ told the guy who asked, what's the great commandment? Anyone know what the great commandment is? Say it loud so they can hear you.
To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
And your
neighbor as yourself.
Yes. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So, we just have a handful of verses here that I want to read. But in Romans 5, 8, we're right in the neighborhood, yes? Look at this. But God commendeth his what?
Love
toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He commended his love toward us. You see, God set his eye on you. He set his heart on you. And he loves you. He commended his love to you. How dare we not love ourselves? We're supposed to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And to love our neighbor as ourself. If you don't love yourself after hearing God's word and believing God's word, something's wrong. Very wrong. And if you don't love yourself, how are you going to love somebody else? You got to get right first. You got to love yourself. And then you're able to love somebody else. God commended his love toward us. He set his eye on us. His love commended it to us. He set his heart on us. In 1 John 3. You see, all of this is to prove to you that you are a beautiful person. You're beautiful. I don't care what the world says. I know what God's word says. And you're gorgeous. You're the best. You are beautiful. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, when?
Now
are we the sons of God. That's the kind of love, the manner that of love that God, our Father, hath bestowed upon us, that we would be not adopted by like signing a paper, but by seed. We're his children. He loves us. We're his kids. Ephesians 1:4. Ephesians 1:4. According as he has chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in what?
Wow.
He's the one that chose us. He's the one that made us able to stand before him. You could stand in front of God because you're holy. You're righteous. So you could stand before him without blame. There's no fingers pointed at you at all, because Jesus Christ took care of all that. The adversary is the one trying to point the finger at you. You're no good. You're ugly. You suck. All that stuff. F him. Who are you going to believe? God or the devil? That's what it boils down to. So it's so basic. So many things boil down to just that. Who are you going to believe? God or the adversary? Here, in Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He commended his love toward us. We didn't deserve any of it, but he did it anyway. He made us able to be beautiful. 2 Corinthians 4:6. And 7. says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness." Look at that. That's what he did. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Hath shined where?
In our hearts.
To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's why we're the best, because God loved us and he shined his light on us and in us. And we get to do that in the world because of what God did with us. That's why we're the best. Remember what Colossians 1:27 says? Christ in you, to whom God would make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why we're the best. That's why you're so beautiful. You've got God and Christ in you. You're some good-looking people. Our countenance, as a result of believing this word of God, our countenance should be 10 times better than the rest of the people in the world. 10 times. Because you've got the love of God. You got God in Christ in you, and you're righteous. You are friggin' gorgeous. Damn. A number one, the best. And it's not because you did something, you know, special to yourself. You believed and you put on the word. God called you and you answered. He said, "Yo, live it." And you said, "Huh? Yep." And he told you stuff and you said, "Okay." You didn't fight and say, "No. No, God." You said, "Okay." So you're the best. He called you and you answered. You're his. You're his. He, out of the whole thing of the universe of creation, God gets you out of it. His people, God gets us. He loves us. You're the best. You're beautiful. So, man, when you look in the mirror and when you think about yourself, be content with what you have. Because you have God and Christ in you. And you're gorgeous people. Really. I mean, everybody in here, I'm looking around at everybody. Okay, I'm checking you out. You're all gorgeous people. You're beautiful. You really are. And I really pray that you believe that about yourself. That you know that you're gorgeous inside and out. And I'm talking inside and out here, not just inside only. You know, I'm serious. You're gorgeous people. And I just really felt compelled to share this tonight of how beautiful you are, because you are the best. So, Father, thanks for your word tonight. And I pray that everybody believes everything I shared. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.